Today is to just have a, you know, we've got enough mechanisms. We all know the nutrition stuff, so I'm not going to talk a lot about that. But what I am going to talk about is the difference this morning between provision and blessing. The difference in letting God's power help you with whatever journey you're on, wherever you're at on that journey. And just to understand that we were created for more than what this world has to offer. The first passage is from 2 Kings, starting with 4:1. Now, this is a story about a widow who, let me just read the passage and you'll understand where I'm going with this. Now, the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord." This is a godly woman. "But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And back in biblical times, you could do that. Somebody had fallen into debt, you could take their kids. Pretty, kind of a horrible time. Kind of a horrible time to live. "And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in the house.' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels, and when one is full, set it aside.' So she went in from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons, and she poured and brought the vessels, and they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another.' Then the oil stopped flowing. So she came in and she told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest.'" Now, there, my friends, is the difference between provision and blessing. Provision would have been, "I'll give you, go get 5 vessels. It'll be enough to pay your debt and live for a year. Or go get 4 vessels. It'll be enough to pay your debt and you can just live on the oil you have in your house." But what God did through the man of God, through Elisha, was told her, "Don't get a few." And I think sometimes we don't understand that blessings come with stipulations on them. Okay? God wants you to do something to receive the blessing. Have you ever heard a person say who's unemployed say, "Oh, I got a raise," or "I got a bonus"? No, in order to get that raise or that bonus, they had to have a job. Okay? So how can I expect, now the other day, I'll be real and honest, I was in an establishment of eating, starts with an M, and I was watching them prepare my food. And it was very efficient the way they took the hash browns and they put them in this little package, and then she put them in the bag and sent it over here. And while she was pouring my coffee, another person made a sandwich. And within like 3 minutes, I had the food, right? And I realized God's provision wasn't that food. His provision was the money to buy a certain amount of calories in a day. Because I do have to have a certain amount of calories in a day. But I realized that was God's provision, but not God's blessing. Now, if I had taken my money and bought some kale and some quinoa and made a healthy sandwich at home with good bread, he could bless that food then. Right? So if I go home today and I sit on my seat where I've worn a nice, comfortable spot, and I turn on TV and I sit there and I just eat chips, God's not going to bless that. So back to the vessels. However many vessels you have open. Now, if you decide, "I'm going to open up a vessel for health in my life that God can bless by saying, 'Hey, Jess, every Wednesday night, let's go play basketball.'" And Levi, "Every Thursday night, let's go to the gym and lift some weights." Then God can bless that, okay? But if you don't have that vessel available, he can't. If you keep driving through McDonald's, the provision is in your back pocket. It's called your cash. But there's not. He can't really do a lot with that. Because that food was never supposed to go inside your body. Right? And so as you find these things, is you say, I need to find a way to open up vessels so that God can bless me. Every time you choose to take a walk, every time you go to the gym, and a lot of people get frustrated because they go to the gym two or three times and they don't look like the people who've been doing there for 10 years.
That's right. I get it.
Guess what? It takes a while. It takes a while to turn your body around to start to change that. I'm a good example of, and I'm going to, once again, I'm being honest, is this. I look like how I work out. I get a little bit of physical work at exercise at work, but the reason my body stores out on my belly is because I eat the wrong things. And God cannot say, Tom, I'm going to make you thin just because you asked me to bless McDonald's. Not going to happen. That's outside the Word of God. That would be like asking God to bless your gambling earnings. Not going to happen. So understand that Word of God. All right. Open up vessels so God can bless you with your food and your exercise and your lifestyle. And this is a great time to do it because the sun's finally starting to come out again. It's a great time to go out with a light jacket and take a walk around the neighborhood. Another thing is, you know how people will pull into a mall or something? They say, watch, God's going to give you a really great parking spot. The parking spot God wants for you is the one at the furthest part of the mall. Because then you get a quarter-mile walk of exercise going into the mall. And it actually saves you money because you think about what you're going to be buying. I can't buy that. I'll get, have to carry it all the way out to my car. So it saves you some money, too. Amen? The second scripture is, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let me ask you, do you believe this is true?
Yes.
Then why the excuses why you can't? I was read about a person recently who, he does marathons. And a marathon is, the one that he does is like the Iron Man, the one they do in Hawaii. And it's like a 2.5 mile swim, a 200 mile bike ride, and a 24 mile run, or something pretty close to that. But he does it with his developing disabled son on the bike with him, in a, like a stroller, and in a boat that he took behind him. You see, his developmentally disabled son is about 18, 19 years old, so he's about 160 pounds. And his son graduated college, this developmentally disabled kid, by tapping a computer screen with his head. Graduated college. No excuse. And the dad had some heart issues, and his son told him, I want to do this with you. And his dad was like, son, no excuses. He's able to do it. Now he doesn't meet the people running it that don't have that. But he's done several of these things where, can you imagine swimming and you're towing this boat behind you with a kid in it, and then you're biking and you got the kid in the front there. I was thinking about that and I was like, when are we as Christians, because I think that we should be, if anybody should be able to master these issues, it should be Christians. To be separate from the world. When are we going to stop making excuses and saying, I'm just going to eat this? Yeah. Or I have to have the cake because it's Bill's birthday down in the office, down the hall. Guess what? You probably don't even like Bill down the hall. Get in the car, say, I got to go. I'm late for the gym. You know? Or bring in something. Bring in something. Bring in the slices of oranges, cut up bananas. Maybe some whole grain bagels, you know, some dairy-free cream cheese. Introduce people to wonderful things. I mean, do you think that a plate of dark chocolate-covered fresh strawberries is going to last more than 5 minutes in that office? Yet it's healthy. Dark chocolate and strawberries, why not? Why not be the change you affect in other people?
There we go.
And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been done in the days of Abraham, his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names the father had given them. I want to ask you something about wells. And in this story, once Abraham had died, the Philistines came and they filled up these wonderful wells with rocks to keep the children of God from getting to the water. I wanted to ask you, was there a time in your life that you were very successful at health and fitness? That you had it dialed in. You had it dialed in. You knew what to do. You did it. You enjoyed it. You need to re-figure out what those successful things are. Amen. What was it? Was it the accountability? Did you have a coach to push? I mean, how many played football? All right? How many did wrestling or any of those kind of things? Okay. How many, your coach made you felt like you were going to throw up? But you kept doing it, right? Because there was another reason you wanted that successful. How many of you have gotten education outside of high school? You went on and got a degree, and you didn't have to. You choose to because you wanted to improve your life. How many of you were really excited about it when you first started? And how many of you, that excitement went, whoa. But you kept doing it, right? This is not an emotional thing, because if you're expecting this to be an emotional thing, it's not going to last. It'll be like everything else. You'll do it for 2 weeks, and then you will stop.
Come on, Tom.
Right?
Yep.
Once you settle this issue, you can retap. Get the devil's the one that came and threw a bunch of stuff in your well. You've got to resolve it. This is what I do, period.
That's right.
This is what I do. Period.
Right.
No, I don't do that. I do this.
You do.
That's right.
When you tap into that, when you realize that, you say, okay, no more excuses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I have no excuse not to do what I need to do.
That's right.
And make it age appropriate. Now, I can't do what I did in high school. I was a pretty healthy kid in high school. I played football and wrestled and ran track and field. I can't do that. My joints won't do that. But I can find age-appropriate exercise for my age and keep and fight the good fight and stay on this earth long enough. Let me ask you this question. Have you been blessed by John Tushabe's preaching?
Yes.
All right? And then, guess what? The path that John was on years ago, before he came to the United States, he wouldn't have been here to preach to us if he would have continued to live his life the way he did. Thank God he had the faith to say, no, I'm going to do it differently. All right? Well, I'm going to ask Brother John to come up this morning. And I'm going to ask him a few questions. And we have a tremendous resource in a man who, at least for over 20 years now, has said, no, I'm going to live differently than the world. I'm not going to eat the way the world eats. I'm going to exercise differently than the world. And I'm not going to let food become an idol to me. And to not take advantage of that resource would be foolishness. So, John, welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to ask you a few questions, John.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, John. Okay, John, I shared earlier how that you weren't, like, when you were back in Africa before you came over to the United States, you were not healthy and you didn't come from a healthy family.
Right.
And part of that wasn't because they were bad people, just they didn't know that it wasn't that unhealthy. Could you tell me what kind of changed in your mind? What was your epiphany that caused you to say, no, I can't live like this anymore?
So I think was wake-up calls. Two events that I think actually started everything. I was in a gym playing basketball with some brothers, and in about 15 or 20 minutes, I could not give up. My head was stimming. I lost consciousness. I had to get outside. And I realized something wasn't right. And then, and that moment of being outside, I actually almost heard God tell me, if you don't change your life, you won't last long. You know, just outside. I wasn't praying, but I was like, So I took that, it just hit me that hard. And then, you know, one evening I thought I'd go for a run, and I couldn't run for half a mile. I could not run half a mile. I was out. So at that point, I began to realize that something had to change. Because of the way I was eating, the way I grew up eating, fried foods, and I was in denial for the most part. I did not want to say I was addicted to food. The food addiction, I just wanted to ignore that. Because when you think about the word addiction, we think it's a negative thing, right? So we don't want to associate ourselves with it. And I didn't want to associate myself with it. So even though I was reaching for the wrong food, choosing the wrong food, being really loved buffets, you know, it's embarrassing, but before all that, I used to like all country buffet. It's embarrassing right now to tell you that, but the only reason I liked it was I could get a lot of food. And there was something in me that was an addiction. Huh? What's that? Yeah, but in my addiction, I love that because, like, man, I can get more food. I did not want to accept that I was addicted. And but I think facing my issue and say, you know what, I'm addicted to food, I'm not in health, and my parents both died of lifestyle diseases. I don't think they even got to 50, but it was all lifestyle diseases, stuff they had. So I think what triggered me was realizing that I was really in bad shape because I couldn't keep up. I was like 27 or 25, and I couldn't run half a mile at 25, and I couldn't even, you know, keep up. So I realized something was out, and I think I believe it was God who told me, if you don't change your life, you won't last.
So when you say the diseases your parents have, these were the preventable type, like diabetes type.
Yeah, my dad had diabetes. My mom was high related, you know, high blood pressure. Yeah.
So they had more life left in them, but they choked it out. They probably didn't know a lot about nutrition.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of things is just because they didn't know, and what was destroying me because I didn't know. I was doing what I always knew to do. And it's amazing when I think God woke me up, God brought someone in my life who was all about health. And if I did not realize that God had brought someone in my life, probably I would have made the change or progress on my change. And I think I introduced that guy to you guys one day, but this guy came into my house. I told the man, you need to help me because I need to know all about health. So he came into the house, got into my refrigerator, threw everything out. It was painful, but I was willing. I mean, I had all these hot dogs and white bread and all this crap. He's like, bad. I said, look what it's in. Look. He just emptied the whole thing out. I said, now let's go to the store. And we bought clean, healthy food. And that was a very pivotal moment. Because the pain of seeing your crop go away that you paid for, you're like, oh man, look at that. So, but God brought someone in my life because I couldn't have got here without someone coming along and saying, hey, I want to help you out. So,
John, the way you eat now, do you feel like you're denied anything wonderful to eat?
No, absolutely. Actually, I think my body has gotten to a place where if I don't eat clean, my body will We just, you know, one time I was so hungry and went over to someone's house after church. I was really hungry. And this person said, hey, you know, I just came from church hungry because most times I don't eat breakfast, which is not good, but I just come to church on Sunday. So I was hungry. I hadn't eaten. And he's like, hey, I have some vegetable egg rolls. John, these are fine the vegetables. Deep fried them. They're vegetables. You can eat this, John. I said, okay, I'm so hungry. You know when you're hungry, you make wrong choices. So I took a bite of that egg roll. Man, I just felt horrible from right here to right here. I could not take another bite. I just felt horrible because that was my body saying, this is not welcome. But I had because your body is a vessel and it's a tool, and what you get your body accustomed to, your body will. That's why if you get your body accustomed to coffee, your body will demand coffee. If you get your body accustomed to sugar, your body will demand for sugar. If you get your body accustomed to clean food, your body will demand clean food. What you get your body used to, if you get your body accustomed to French fries, then 16 ingredients in a McDonald's French fries, your body will demand that. You just drive by and your body will demand for it. It's what you put your custom your body to. So yeah, right now, it's been a journey, guys. And I want to say it's not been easy. It's been a journey. So.
All right. I would like to ask you about your motivation of your big why, because a lot of people know the right thing to do, but they can't seem to find a reason to care. You know, I just don't care enough to do that right thing.
Yeah.
I'd like you, if you could, and I know you've got a slide about this too, is to explain kind of what your big why is. What is your, because there's a reason beyond emotion, because like you said, it hasn't been easy.
Yeah.
So you could have thrown in the towel years ago. But what is your big why and why you do what you do health-wise?
Yeah. By the way, did you like how Tom delivered that word?
Yeah.
I mean, using that story of the lady at the off. I mean, that was really cool how you tied that into health. That was awesome. But I like the story about the guy who, you know, had a child whose child had developmentally and he had a heart issue. That guy was able to do what 99% of people will never do because he had a big why. I read this statement. The bigger, maybe Tom will get it from me, the bigger the why, the easier the how. The bigger the why, the easier the how. The bigger the why, the easier the how. If your why to health is big enough, the how to health will be easy. So the bigger that, and I think for me, because when we started doing the health thing, in my house were like two different worlds, because Sanyu was not on the same page yet. And so it took us like 3-4 years to actually get on the same page of health. We literally would buy two kinds of bread, the one I could eat, the one she could eat, two pots of rice, the what kind of rice I eat, the kind of rice she had, to kind of, you know, we all, because she would not eat what I ate, like, nah, but after a while, you know, more of talking about it and more just, so it's a journey. And now Sunny won't eat crap. I'm not telling you, man. I'm so proud of her, man. She's just made so much change. You know, I've seen her turn away cakes, man. I'm like, that is awesome. That wasn't the Sunny I knew, you know. But it's been a journey. But I think when I started this, the why was very short term. I just wanted to feel good. I just wanted to be able to run. It was a very short term. It wasn't a long term. But I think the why, I began to build on the why. Just layer the why. Layers, more layers of why. I didn't have a child then, so I couldn't say, oh, I'm doing this so I can be there for my child. it didn't make sense then because I didn't have a child. So I was like, man, I just want to be able to not faint or not, you know, I just want to, it was a very short term. And so by the time went on, I began to make my why bigger, stronger, added more reasons. Amen. Why? Because I knew, as the Bible says, where there's no vision, people go without constraint, right? Where there's no vision, there's no boundaries. When you don't have a vision, you won't be constrained to reach for the donut. You just reach for the donut. You know, at work, if they have muffins, you're just going to go get the muffin because you have no why, you have no clear vision of your health. So I didn't have that. And I wanted to build that because I knew if my why was big enough, then how would be easy. So I began to build on the why and then understanding that, you know what, I have a purpose in my life. I have a call of God on my life. And the body has to play along, right? And I didn't want for you to come and send in and say, well, Pastor Kamaki is sick. You know, and by God's grace, I don't think I've ever missed church because I was sick. Amen. By the grace of God, you know, I didn't want to be robbed of the privilege of serving God. Amen. Because for me, serving God is a privilege.
Yes.
And if my body is not in alignment, then I'm going to miss out the privilege of serving God.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to rob other people of the blessing of God's grace on my life. So I began to build on my why, like I'm just gonna make my why bigger. And then later, you know how Jesse talked last night and he said his why was basically to make sure he loved himself. Love me first, because if I don't love me, I can't love anybody.
Amen.
And I remember that later on, that became another why on my why. I was like, if I don't take care of me, I can't take care of anybody else. That's why you're flying. The flight attendant says, don't put the oxygen mask on your child. First put it on yourself first, and then you can put it on your child. I began to layer and build more whys and more whys and more whys and more whys, because the bigger the why. So if you can make your why bigger and bigger and bigger, the easier it gets. You got to make your why bigger. You keep building on it, keep building on it, keep building on it. See, when we go in our chamber, Sonny and I, she's like, I like your body. I'm like, okay, that's another why. Another why. I'm going to go back to the gym. I'm going to run tomorrow. Another why. So you keep building on the why. You keep making it bigger, bigger, and bigger. You understand? So the bigger the why, right? The bigger the why, the easier the how. So finding every way, I think for me, was finding every way to make my why bigger. I want to run. I want to be healthy. I want to serve God. I want to keep. When Daniel came, I added another why.
Yes.
That's right.
Because the truth of the matter is, when I'm in my, when Daniel's in his 20s, I'll be in my 50s.
Right.
So most people, when their kids in their 20s, they're in their 30s or 40s. Not 30s, but 40s. Okay. I was like that. So they're in their 40s. So it's a, but, you know, we're still a little late. Now, of course, with this whole story of the miracle of God. But the truth of the matter is, I want to be in my 50s. When he's in 20s, I got to keep up with that dude.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I got to be able to hike with him. I got to be able to go jogging with him. And I mean, I'm see grandkids till I'm in 70, so I don't want to be like, Papa can't do it. So then became another why. So why? Because for me, every situation I'm finding, I'm adding on why, make the why bigger.
That's right.
One time I was at the pharmacy, and I seen all the people coming in to get their prescription filled, and it dawned on me. I was like, you know what? I don't want to do that. It's too late. Well, I don't want to say it's too late, but I was like, the time for me to avoid being here in my 60s is now, to try to do something now that will help me not to be in prescription lines in my 60s, 70s, trying to get a prescription. Yeah. So the why, you try to find, we all have different stories, we all have different situations, but if you can just keep building your why, some of you, in the next 20 years, you're going to have a lot more money than you have now. What good would that money be if you can't travel?
No.
Right?
Some of you have better jobs in your 20s. I mean, 20s up from now, you're going to have big jobs, big money, because God is blessing you. But what good is it if your health cannot help you enjoy that money that God has given to you? So, bigger the why, the easier the how. So those were my words that I can think of that I kept building. So every time I find a why, I just make it bigger. Keep that mountain growing, the why, keep it growing. And then the how gets easier. So I can now say, I'm not at your birthday, I may just take one slice of the cake because I love you, but just one little bite and I'm done. I'm not gonna eat your whole slice. I'm like, I'm not, because the how is easy, you know. I will not eat pizza, you know, because
yeah.
The how is easier, because the bigger the why,
yeah,
the easier the how. When I don't feel like going for a run, going to the gym, because you keep building the why,
right.
The how gets easy, you know.
Could you expound on your slide on circles?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. So here's that. Tom just reminded me that. You see, the why is a cause. The how is the verb proposition. But the what is what. We all know the what to do. We all know. It's not like we don't know what to do. It's not no, we don't know what to eat. We know that birthday cake is horrible for you. We know that donuts are horrible. We know all the sugar-laden foods, processed food. We know that. But why do we reach for those foods? Why do we still eat them? Because our why is not solid. That's the center. That has to be the core of your existence. The why? If you lose track of the why, then you're going to be a victim of the what? Mm-hmm. What everybody is doing, whatever culture is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if your why is solid, becomes the core of your existence, then the how and the what, man, has got, becomes a lot easier.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I think we should ask some people what their whys are.
Okay.
And say where they've been successful and why. And if you're willing to share that, that would be a blessing to people and help them out. It can be just a short-term why. That's all right, too. Nothing wrong with that. You just need to build on the longer why after that. All right, Viola?
Mine is I don't want to go to a nursing home.
Amen.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good why. Not wanting to go to a nursing home and be trapped and not be able to do what God has called you to do.
And stay off the meds.
Right. Stay off the meds.
That's good.
With all the healthcare uncertainty, the one certainty with healthcare is this. If you stay healthy, doesn't matter what they do back there in D.C. with that mess, you're going to be less likely to need their help. And so that's a good why right there.
That's good.
I'm going to take care of me because I don't know what they got going on.
That's good.
Rico?
So as you were talking, I realized my daughter was born when I was 40.
Yeah.
So when she's 20, I'm going to be 60.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I'm walking her down the aisle somewhere around 65.
Yeah.
If she ever meets a man, never meets a guy. But not just that, but I have a young wife.
Yeah.
And I now have a goddaughter that was born on Friday.
Yeah.
Antonio's baby, Antonio and Janelle had their baby on Friday, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I keep accepting these responsibilities that are going to require me to be healthy.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And over the last few months, we've really been kind of trying to dial it in. I think going and hitting our cupboards is going to be a big fight for our family. But But yeah, just that alone. And I do have a question. How many people work out so that their body looks good? I mean, let's be real. How many people go to the gym because they want their body to look good? How many people go to the gym because they want their hearts to be healthy? You see, it's about 50-50. You see what I mean? So as soon as we start to put it into perspective as to you're living longer, or to sustain yourself rather than to look good, because what if, God forbid, you get burned 85% of your body?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So take the vanity out, right? And let's start thinking about health, right?
Good.
Man,
Janine.
So I haven't built on my why yet, but the pain in my body had my full attention. So I had plantar fasciitis in my feet, so every time I woke up in the morning, it was like walking on glass. And when you have, when your body's screaming very loudly, that gets your full attention. So I'm trying to build my why. So because now the pain's gone, I've been working out.
Yeah.
But I gotta find it. I gotta get a bigger why.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. That's good. Gotta get a why. Gotta get a why.
I don't go to the gym, but I'm self-motivated. I work out every day.
Good.
Strengthening my muscles, and I'm walking every day, including
That's
this
good.
Morning, every Sunday, every day. But I know that as I don't always eat right. Yeah, the other day I was craving a cheese. Grilled cheese sandwich with tomato soup. So I ate it. I'm going, what? It tasted good. In my head, it was going to really taste good. But when I went to eat it, my body said, I didn't like this.
Wow.
So, but I did try to eat that thing. You know, I was so wanted that thing.
Yeah.
No more of that.
Yeah. Wow.
Make a decision. That's what I did. I made a decision to be healthy. I made a decision to exercise so I would be healthy. And I still have to work on the eating habit.
Yeah. That's good.
Thanks, sister.
And that is right. You have to make a decision to change your eating habits. But I want to change my...
No, you're fine.
I just chose for a while. I've been doing shakes twice a day, breakfast, dinner, that's it. If I get hungry in the middle of the day, I'll eat a rice cake with some almond butter or nuts or something like that. So my body has gotten very used to that. And the other night I was in my class, I think it was Wednesday, my first day back to school, I was in my class, and I was real hungry after that. So I was like, okay, let me run, and I've been craving broccoli, cooked broccoli, for about a week and a half. I said, let me run and go get me some broccoli real quick.
Awesome.
Yeah, all I right. went the wrong way to my broccoli spot, and I ended up going to Azale's. And, you know, for maybe a couple months, I've been doing two shakes a day, and I remember Jesse talking about it, you know, if you come and eat something real heavy, it's not good. Well, I grubbed. I'm not lying. I got me a large fries, told him to cook it crispy, and I haven't had no potatoes in a long time. And I got two pieces of chicken and a bread, piece of bread. And I ate it, and I woke up at 2 o'clock, couldn't sleep, woke up at 3 o'clock.
Wow.
4 o'clock, it was a wrap. Me in the bathroom, sorry, hey. Both ways.
Amen.
And, you know, when it came out, I just looked at it. And now, you know, hate's a bad word, but I hate these Zales. And I thought, that food is what did this to my body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I felt bad. I feel real bad, so
wow.
I'm on my shakes twice a day, and I'm feeling good.
Awesome. Yeah, your body will speak to you. That's good.
Wow. Oh, I don't know. Okay, anyways, I have not been going to the gym. They just rearranged it. It was actually closed for a little while, so it's part of it, but I know I could have gone, whatever. I've also been working, so I'm not, like, in bed all day like I used to be. But my thing was cutting out milk like dairy milk, because like this whole time I've been like, I know it's bad for me.
Yeah.
Gave me bad acne, you know, everything bad. So I was like, well, okay, soy milk's fine. I actually really like the taste of soy milk, and I know you're gonna say soy milk's bad too, but it's better than dairy milk, so. But like the thing is, like I get, you know, like my coffee, but I always get like soy, you know, and it's just I know that it's better because I used to make me sick.
Yeah.
The other day, my mom brings me a milkshake from Chick-fil-A, like some chicken, and I was like, cool. I did not want to call anyone out. Okay. But she brings me like a milkshake because she figured I would want one. But I was just like, I had like took one sip of it and I was like, this is so milky, so thick. And I was like, I don't know about this. So I just like told my coworkers, I said, just so you know, the french fries and the milkshake are up for grabs. My coworker runs back to the,
yeah,
runs to the back room because she was like, she is like soda every day and stuff. And I'm like, okay, fine, you can have it. But I was like, I'll just take some water, maybe some coffee with some,
yeah,
like, you know, something else. But it's like the main thing for me is like getting rid of cheese and stuff because that's in everything.
Yeah.
There's cheese in like everything, but it's like as far as like the milk goes, it's like I have goat cheese in like my omelets now, like rather than like just cow milk. Like it just, it tastes so bad to me now, like honestly.
Right.
And like I get macaroni and cheese every time we go to like Panera. And the other day I was like, eh, can I mac and cheese? That would make me sick. So I just got like chicken soup and like things like that instead. So it's really hard to like cut out milk, but like I'm trying.
Very good, very good, very good. Now that's our why. You see, we all can build our personal whys. Your personal why. Now, just don't defend yourself.
Just
give
a
revelation.
I just want to go on record to say I've never seen that woman in my entire life.
I didn't know this was a school zone. All right. Anyway, anybody else a why?
So I think my why, which is growing, is to have to bring my best energy to my contributions at work, at school. I really enjoy my work, and I want to be able to contribute,
yeah,
my best self. And I'm pretty much pain intolerant, so I'm hoping that as I keep my body healthy, I will stay on that. So there.
That's a great energy. Figuring that is, I want you to ask yourself this: is what am I passionate about? The things in this life that I love doing, and ask yourself, will you be able to do them in 10 years if you don't change the way you eat or the way you exercise?
Right.
You know, and that's a pretty good one. Like, if you could go back 10 years and talk to you 10 years ago.
Yeah.
What would you say to you 10 years ago?
Stay away from McDonald's.
Well, I can't do that. I don't have a time machine. But I know this. You can make a decision now that,
yes,
that you 10 years from now will say, thank you.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So, you want to get to the juicing?
Cool. All right. If
guys,
no more questions, Sherry and Tom, they're going to make some smoothies for us. And we'll make sure everybody gets to have some before you leave, all right? So don't run out of here. While they're getting that done, any other questions? Maybe you didn't have a why, but you have a question?
It's kind of just more of a comment more than anything. When we're looking at our whys, most of the time where you see people fail, usually a couple months into it, is because a lot of times it's short term.
Short term, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to Mexico next year, so.
Yeah.
You know, so when you have short term ones like that, they usually fail.
Yeah.
The gyms are really packed New Year's.
Yeah.
Right around January.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm doing this right around April, the parking lot is halfway empty.
Yeah.
Because people are not looking past, they're looking at summertime. Hey, I'm going to look nice. And
yeah.
If that's the why,
yeah,
the chances of failure are,
right,
they seem to be a lot more greater. So,
right.
So
right.
It's really building on the why.
That's good.
So
that's good.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's okay to start off with a shorter why, but if you don't build on it, then you're gonna, you know. So Because I remember my why started for the short term, because that's all I knew, that's all I had, but it was the process of building on the why and just keep mounting on it. So the stronger the being it gets, the easier. You keep doing that, you'll be able to get a belly button, you know. Right, Yolanda? Keep doing that, you will get it. Stay focused, yeah? Big why. That's not, it's not bad, it's a why.